This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Monday. God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Monday to join me and join us here as we together study the Word of Almighty God. That's what we do here. This is WGOD Radio. God is always broadcasting. We're tuning into His frequency now, and I thank you for joining us here on this Monday. We'd love to see you for one of our services. If you're new to the area, we've actually had a lot of visitors lately from the radio, and I'm grateful for you guys for coming by and visiting the church, and I'm grateful for you guys for tuning in right now here on the radio. You'll hear my Sunday sermon, and that was called The Mysteries of the Kingdom, here coming up later on in the week. That's what I just preached yesterday here, looking at how people like Ananias and Sapphira, how did these people end up in the church? I mean, who would lie to God directly? Well, actually, you see, it's through the spiritual leader of the church. Like I'm the spiritual leader of the church. Like your pastor is the spiritual leader of his church. How did these people end up in the church? Who would do something like that? That was my sermon from Sunday. You will hear that later on in the week. Here now, we just started going through the book of Hebrews verse by verse. That started on Friday. This is part two of this initial message, the introduction to Hebrews. You'll hear chapter 2 probably Tuesday and Wednesday, and then you'll hear my Sunday sermon Thursday and Friday. We'd love to see you for one of our services. This Wednesday, we will be in the book of 2 Peter. We just started that Wednesday nights, verse by verse. Roll out the blackboard, the dry erase board. It's open for questions and answers. You are invited Wednesday evening at 6. Sunday mornings at 10:30, we are going through the book of Acts, verse by verse. Okay, here we go. This is part two of this message now, an introduction to Hebrews.
Back from the top, God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. All right, so there's our first use of the word better. We'll find here in this letter. So much better than the angels. And Jesus is heir of all things. And right along with that truth is the awesome truth that you are an heir right alongside Him. Revelation 21:7, it says, He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Catch the caveat there. You've got to be an overcomer. It's a promise for all overcomers. Don't be like... Well, when you read Matthew chapter 13, 3 out of 4 people don't overcome. Only 1 out of 4 continue on in the faith. They don't let these things take them out. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. I mean, what other option do you have, church, than overcoming? What else is there? I mean, I guess you have 2 options. You can either overcome or quit. Overcome or quit. overcome or quit. And author of Hebrews warned against quitting. He said, there's nothing left for you. He can't die again. He's not going to go up on the cross again. I mean, if you're going to turn away from Jesus Christ, he says, no, and understand that the consequences are lethal for that. There's nothing left he can do when you walk away from the cross. There's nothing left you can do. Now, we also read here in verse 3 that Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God and the express image of his person. This from the ESV, verse 3. He, speaking of Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Some people still have old enough iPhones where instead of it's the face, what is it? Right? It's your thumb. He is the exact. When he puts his thumb down there in the phone, the screen comes up. Even though it says Jehovah's phone, the son puts his thumb down there. Whoop, on comes the screen. He's the exact imprint of the glory of God. The radiance of his glory, he is the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Wow, what a mouthful of excellence. He is the radiance of the glory of God, is Jesus Christ. The radiance of the glory of God. And he's the exact imprint of his nature. Now, I remember back when I had all of my teeth knocked out when I was 11 years old playing baseball. And I remember the dentist sticking this nasty pile of goo into a plate shaped like my upper jaw and stuck that thing in my mouth, and it was cold and clammy and made this squishy sound when he sticks it up there and sticks it up into my mouth. And that, you see, was a copy of the original. Down to the last chip on a tooth. Likewise is the Son of God. He is the exact imprint of Almighty God. That's why he said to his disciples, he says, those who have seen me have seen the Father. He's the exact imprint of his nature. He is the image of the invisible God, the exact imprint. The Greek word for imprint is the word character, believe it or not. Like the letter on a typewriter. If you guys old enough to remember what a typewriter is, boy, am I old all of a sudden. Who would have thought the day would come when I would have to explain what a typewriter was? Well, it used to really intrigue me when I'd look at it backwards and you see that, ooh, that little half moon, and you'd press on a key halfway and it would come up, right? And then you'd see C, D, E. That's what this Greek word means. That Jesus is the exact imprint of Jehovah God. That's what the author is trying to say. Jesus is better than any of the Old Testament. He is better. He is the image of the invisible God. Now here's the NIV. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and he is the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. New Living Translation. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character, there's that word, the very character of God. He sustains everything by his mighty power. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Verse 4, this shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. And that name is Jehovah is salvation. That's what the name of Jesus means, or Yeshua in Hebrew. Jehovah is salvation. Greater than the angels. And now he's going to build on that As the subject heading here is, the Son is greater than the angels. Verse 5. He's building a case for people that are tired of getting persecuted, and like the Jews back in the Old Testament, maybe they missed their former life. They were missed because they were outcast now, persecuted. Verse 5. Again, the Son is greater than the angels. This is what he's going to refer to. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, and today I have begotten you"? That's Psalm 2:7. Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son." Now that one's 2 Samuel 7:14. You see, this guy's using the Old Testament to show to them that their very own Bibles just shout out loud that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he's the promised Messiah, and that he's greater than anything and everyone else. Verse 6, "But when he again brings the firstborn into the world," he says, "let the angels of God worship him." All right, that's Deuteronomy 32, 43. But that's only Deuteronomy 32, 43 if you picked up one of my Bibles last week. Because that one's not in yours. See, this is what I said. The cat who wrote this book only gives you Greek Old Testament. This guy didn't know Hebrew. So he quotes from a different source, this forgotten work. Here's Deuteronomy 32 from your Bibles. It says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." But here's 32:43 from the Septuagint and from the Dead Sea Scrolls, because they found this there, and from my Bible translation. "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, comma, and let the angels of God worship him." See, he wasn't throwing darts at a dartboard. God bless you. He quoted verbatim here. Here's another one, verse 7. Verse 7 here in Hebrews 1. "And of the angels," he says, "who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." So he's comparing what God said to angels and what God says to his Son. Verse 8. Fascinating verse here. Look at how God the Father addresses God the Son here. Verse 8, Hebrews 1:8. Let me say that again. Look at how God the Father addresses his Son. If you have a New King James, you'll notice capitalized letters here for deity. Verse 8, "But to the Son," he says, this is the Father speaking, "to the Son," he says, "your throne, O God." Do you catch that? "To the Son," he says, "your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, therefore, God, your God." There's another English teacher's nightmare if I've ever seen it. How can you be God and yet still say that he's your God? Sounds like John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." How can you be with someone and still be that same someone at the same time? Here's another one of these. "Therefore, God," now, this is still Jehovah speaking. Okay? It's not the author. He's quoting the Old Testament. "Therefore, God," catch the Y is capitalized. If you got a New King James there, you see that? Verse 9, "Therefore, God, your God," the Y's capital. That means the translators are telling you he's referring to deity, but God the Father is speaking, and he's still talking to God. See, Jesus is better than any of this stuff, is what he's trying to say. He's God. He's God the Son. Now, if you guys need a New King James Bible, let me know. I've got some. I'll give you one if you want one. The New American Standard as well capitalizes the personal pronouns referring to God. Again, verse 9. "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you," capital Y, with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So again, check that out. Jehovah God just called his son God. Scoffers like to say, ignorantly I may add, well, Jesus never said he was God. Well, his father just said that he was God. And he said it back in the Old Testament. That was Psalm 45, verse 6, what I just quoted to you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. That verse must have been hard to understand for 1,000 years. Until God's son is on the scene. And this author is explaining to these Hebrews here, he's explaining to these guys what these verses really mean. And that is that God's got a son, is what he's explaining to them. And his name is Jesus. No one could understand this verse until the advent of the Son of God. Again, a real head scratcher for anyone from David's time. So what can you take home with you out of all this? Answer, Jesus is the promised Messiah. And that all these things which are written, it's all about him. It's all about him. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him. Everything in the Bible, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it's all about him. God's final revelation to man is his son, Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Now let's take it again here from verse 5. Now remember, our theme in this book, the author is trying to prevent these Jews from returning to a life of leeks and onions. Now, let me explain that. You've heard me use that figure of speech. The saying of leeks and onions is just a figure of speech for giving up and going back to your former way of life. Look, people do that all the time. People give up. Don't say to me that this book doesn't apply to me. People do this kind of stuff all the time. People give up and quit all the time. This might have been written to the Hebrews, but this applies to each and every one of us as well. You don't give up. You don't quit walking the way. You don't quit walking with God. For to which of the angels did he ever say, this is again verse 5, to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, Psalm 2:7. And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son, 2 Samuel 7:14. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. That's Psalm 104. So this guy's rapid fire reading off these scripture verses here from the Old Testament, proving who Jesus is. Verse 8, but to the Son, he says, again, comparing the two, angels to Christ, angels to Christ. Christ is better than the angels. Later on, he's going to compare him to Moses. We're going to see he's better than Moses. But to the Son, he says, your throne is forever and ever. Scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Verse 10, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed. But you are the same and your years will not fail. Now that one is Psalm 102, verse 25. Verse 13, but to which of the angels did he ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? So he's made the first point here. Jesus is better than the angels. And speaking of angels, he now tells us the purpose for angels here in the world. Verse 14 here. Why are there angels here? What's their purpose?
Verse 14.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So let me ask the question here this morning before you guys leave. Is that you? Will you inherit salvation? Question. We say, is your name in the book? Let me ask you this morning, is your name in the will? Is your name in God's will? I know people can inherit from anyone, a friend, to someone you've shown kindness to in the past. Maybe you were the only caregiver for someone. But when it comes to salvation, you can only inherit it from your Heavenly Father. And He's not going to die for you to receive this inheritance. God doesn't die. But is your name in the will? That's my question here. On this 23rd day of March, year of our Lord, 2025, is your name, and if you're watching here online tonight, I ask you here today, is your name in God's will? Is it? Let's be certain of that. The Apostle John wrote, speaking of Christ, he says, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as did receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, John 1:11. The alternative to God being your Father can also be found here in the Gospel of John. Jesus said to all of the unbelievers of the day, He said, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not abide in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So my question to you this Sunday morning is this: will you inherit salvation and eternal life from your Heavenly Father? Are you in God's will? The good news is today is that you can change fathers. That's good news. You can change fathers right here and now, because we are all adopted into God's family. So I encourage you today, and if you're listening on the radio or watching here on YouTube, I encourage you to come and join us. He's given you the promise, as many as received Him, to them He's given them the authority and the power to become children of God. We are all adopted into this family. Let me read this verse again, John 1:11. It says, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as did receive Him, to them He gave them the right to become children of God. You know, a funny thing about this Greek word, exousia. And that is, the guys don't know how to translate the word. The word can mean either three things. And in this case, all three of them apply. So He's given you the right to become a child of God. The second way we could translate that is authority. He has given you this morning the authority to be a child of God. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. He told you, as many as received Him. The third way to interpret that word is power. Many times the King James Version always translates this word exousia as power. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become children of God. You, let me open your eyes to a spiritual truth here today, if you did not know. Jesus says the knowledge of the truth is what sets you free. You have the power today to be a child of God if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Don't be deceived. That is the gospel truth. You've got it. You've got the right like everyone else. You've got the authority like everyone else. There's a green light here. God's blocked the traffic. He's given you the authority to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what's been dogging you, no matter what demon's been dogging you, you've got the authority today to be in God's will. You don't got to jump through any hoops. You don't got to give money in the offering plate. All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus Christ. No money. You don't even burn a calorie to do that. You do it right here. Right here by praying like this. Lord God Almighty, I want to be in your will. And I'm tired of the devil tormenting me and lying to me. Lord, I'm shocked because you described my father and I didn't realize it, that I've been a liar and deceiving people and I lie for a living. I want to do what the preacher said and I want to change daddies. I turn and repent of my sins and I leave them behind and I do what you said in your word. I receive you today. I call on your name, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins. Remember them no more, like the preacher says. And write my name in the book of life, Lord, because I want to inherit from you. And it's in Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. The dangers found in the letter to the Hebrews we're looking at, the dangers is in going back to your former life. That's why he wrote this. After experiencing how good God has been to you. That's the dangers. We look, think about everything that God has done for you, through you, and to you in your life. And he's warning them. And the people, see, the church for 200 years thought that that warning was a little bit too severe, you see. That's why the book of Hebrews is the second to last book to be received by the church. Of course, the last one was the book of Revelation. Hebrews was the next because that offended people, to say to people that they need to cross the finish line in faith. So, 2 points this morning. Number one, don't look back. So Jesus said, and I think it's Luke chapter 21, he said, remember Lot's wife. Now, there are books that I've written. They're written by unbelievers who saw that statue of salt out there in the desert. Josephus, read it for yourself. Unbeliever. Everyone there knew that that statue was there. A statue of salt out there. Jesus said, don't look back. He says, remember Lot's wife. Because she missed her former life. And number two, guarantee your inheritance. Guarantee your inheritance. That is, have your name in God's will. Let's pray one more time. We can't pray enough. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Lord, we fall in now. We don't want to fall out. We fall in. Lord, we pray you'd forgive us for missing the mark. Forgive us for those times that we have gone astray. We pray for your mercy and grace. Lord, we pray you give us the strength because we can't do this on our own. Lord, I also pray that you'd open up our realization that the power to hold fast is already present on the inside of us. Open our eyes to this great truth, Lord. We praise you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.